Happy Valentine's Day and welcome in, my friends. It is the Waffle Mafia podcast again. I caught a bird. What's going on? Kimberly Powers Black, happy Valentine's Day to you as well. You and Mr. Black, what's up? Dano Lamano, welcome in. Ruddy Rudd, what's happening, Ruddy Buddy? Von Eric Ratliff, what's going on, good sir? Mr. Wilson, it is a Valentine's Day edition of the Waffle Mafia podcast. I appreciate you guys coming out, hanging out with me, doing what we do. This is the only place to get together with the Waffle Mafia, folks. So we do our weekly podcast, try to do that on Wednesday nights. Of course, tonight happened to fall on a bit of a holiday for some. So with that said, we try to keep the theme of the podcast sort of going along with what's going on. So for the lovebirds, we're going to get Randy, baby, with King Randor. Let's get that pause for the cause. My beautiful alphabet mug. Man, that's what it be. A little pause for the cause from Mr. ABC. What's happening there, Wally Cat? What's going on, Mr. Coronado, Mr. Dabila? Who else is up in the room? What's happening, my friends? Oh, it's all good. We didn't need to wait. The lady's patient. She's understanding. She knows how much I love you guys, too. So it's important sometimes to let it do what it do. So, Ruth, what's happening? Squirrel, what's happening? Thanks for jumping in. What's up, E-Daddy? What's happening, my friend? So, with Eric jumping in there, say what's up to you, Mr. Firestone. What's happening, Sexstone? What's going down? Got to talk about some stuff that's coming to town. So we got WaffleCon coming up here soon. Of course, that works in conjunction with Lexington Comic-Con. Basically, what we're doing, guys, is we're going to show up Mafia fashion. There's just going to be a slew of us, and we're just going to roll in with our Waffle Mafia stuff, and we're going to represent what we hope to do for WaffleCon is possibly have a booth. If we don't have a booth, you know, we'll set up somewhere. We'll grab a room or we'll set somewhere and talk. But we're going to be able to slide off to the side and do what we do. And I think it would be cool to give away a couple prizes or two. So when folks come around and, you know, asking about the Waffle Mafia and who we are and what we do, we hand out a couple stickers or two and then maybe do a little draw and get some names on the wheel and do a freebie on behalf of the Mafia for the folks that are walking by. And then maybe we'll just get another little piece of our pie. And maybe we can do a donation wheel where everybody brings something. Hey, I'm bringing a Men on Card for the wheel, or I'm bringing a Loose Classics for the wheel. And then we can all jump in there and trade. So anybody that brings one that throws it on the wheel, you get your name on the wheel, you know, kind of like we did over at Lord of Destruction Waffles when we did that Toys for Tots deal year before last. So very cool deal. You can donate and then somebody else can donate and switch prizes. We just roll so everybody gets a prize. So very cool, man. Call, friggin' call. What's happening, Free Bird? Ca-caw, ca-caw. Yeah, I got my hotel room booked. Gilbert is ready to go. We'll set up at E-Daddy's place if we don't get that booth. Yeah, I mean, it's okay. I mean, what we really want to see is all of us being able to get together and having a chance for us all to hang out in the same place. So, and get to actually see our faces for real. So, you know, hey, just go if you can, man. I mean, that's the idea. We don't have to make it this monstrous elaborate thing to begin with, but I would like to roll in deep. I'd like to roll in heavy, show our strength in what we do, and have ourselves a pause or two, and we'll do what we do. So, guys, thank you all again. Jumping in a room. What's up, Magnus? What's up, Jacob Terror? What's happening, my friend? Now, I had a couple things needed to address. Shipping. We do this every week. We do this every week. Shipping. Things are shipped. So there's that. Not 100% everything, but my Lord, I'm at like 97 at this point. So maybe 3% away from a non-shipping day. So there you go. So things are shipped now. I apologize to you guys for being a little lax on that recently. Work life, baby, you know, same problems you guys have. The shipping is done. Now, also, we needed to address these podcast spots. There's been some podcast spots where I've owed you guys spots for being in a podcast, and I hadn't got you in. So I do have those podcast spots set aside. I'm going to do a separate wheel for that. I know we talked about doing it last week, but I'm going to do it this week for Thirsty Thursday. So we'll have that extra little deal there for all those folks. And then, of course, anything that's happened this past week, anything major in the community, of course, we got the news on David Goyer no longer being a part, or let's not say no longer being a part of the film. Let's say no longer being the producer of the film or the writer of the film. He's still executive producer, so he still has his hands, you know, and from what I understand, they're still sticking with the script that they have. So really, Goyer's touches are all over it. So, but it is good news at least to see that maybe he will not be in it in the same capacity after seeing that mech disaster. So there's my touch on that. I've talked about it a couple different times, but we did want to at least talk about things that happened in the week. So that was interesting news that went down this past week. Yeah, mech suits for everybody, man. All around, y'all know what it be. Just getting them lagers, you see what's happening. Yeah, we do. Yeah, you got running water. You guys do have that. Tim Burton. No. Oh, Lord, no. Yeah, ma'am. What's all this ship going on? Hey, speaking of getting toys gone. So, as you guys know, we're, you know, everybody who's in every week, and y'all know what we do because you hang here and we do the podcast, fool. But for those that don't, here's the way it goes down. Whatever we talk about on Wednesday, on Thursday, we take the Pound Town. So Thursday, for Thirsty Thursday, that's when we get together and do whoever we talk about tonight. We're going to see if we can't do this bad boy, all right? So got the king, man. It's old Randor. So Randy, baby, you getting your Valentine's wish. Because not only are you getting Randy, we're going to talk about his bish. So there you go. There's old Randy and Captain Glenn. And we'll talk about how they met and how they first got it in. So we're going to do a little bit of Randor. And, you know, that's what it be. It's the Burger King, baby. Yeah, that's what I see. But, no. Honestly, guys, this is the version of Randor that, you know, that's Randor to me. You know, you got to have his counterpart, the wondrous Mrs. Glenn. And tomorrow night when we talk about it, we're also going to get this in. So we do have the Marlena suit and the extra Marlena head. So there's a little Valentine's gift instead. Everybody likes a little head. I hope you get your Valentine's going good too. And it is what it is, and it do what it do. So there you go, little Captain Glenn, little Marlena. We're going to talk about that tomorrow night. We got to talk about them tonight because that's how you get to Thursday. You got to get Wednesday done. And we get together and have some fun. What's up, Mr. Itis? What's happening? Scare glow in the room. Let's have a pause for the calls. Boom. So, true love story, Eternian style. Let's talk about Randor for just a little while. The heroic ruler of Eternia is how he's listed. Heroic ruler of Eternia, released in 1987. So Randor, if you guys are familiar, obviously, with sort of the timelines that we're playing within, 87 being the movie and sort of the ending of the line and all that good stuff, Randor being a part of that final wave. So what we saw when we got Randor, he was listed as the heroic ruler of Eternia. Now, interestingly enough, I just said he wasn't released until 87. However, Randor, or King Randor, has been around in some sense since the beginning of Masters. Now, in the very beginning, when he wasn't necessarily named Randor, he was, but he wasn't referred to in that way. But we go all the way back to 82, you say. So, like the Sorceress, Randor is another one of those figures who was a part of the line that was mentioned very early on in the canon and was tied into a lot of stories, and a lot of things had to do with that character, but we actually didn't have a figure for that character until much later. Now, what we started out with King Randor, of course, very different than the final toy that we landed on, but as you guys know, we've been listening to the podcast. If you guys have joined me here for this Madness Weekly, you know that it very rarely did work like that, though. I mean, they started with an idea, and along the way, we ended up with a different toy for which we played, because we've had all these different prototypes. We've had all these different designs. We've had Bug Man or Bug Off. We've had, just all these different concepts of things, Iron Jaw, and as the artists worked with them and finally worked into a final design, we ended up with the things that we got. In some cases, we can draw a pretty good, understanding of why things went in the direction they did, but none of that really mattered that much when you was an 80s kid, because the stuff was just magical. I remember getting Randor. It was another one of those deals. I've talked about it before. In my town, we had Maloney's, and Maloney's was a box store, kind of like Magic Mart. We had a Magic Mart too, which is where I did pick up most of my Masters when I was a kid. But you go to Maloney's, they had some stuff that maybe Magic Mart didn't. But anyway, I do remember picking up Randor there as well, like along with the Sorceress, and seeing those guys on the end cap and seeing those that final wave of figures there, and they were bright and very interesting. So I don't know. I was very pleased with Randor as a kid. He always seemed to fit the play well. You had your castle, you had He-Man. Well, now you finally had the king that He-Man needed to defend. And not only did you have a king, but you had a king who was pretty badass, and he could help He-Man whoop a little bit of ass. So, it was one of those things where you got a figure that was muscular and buff just like the rest. If he's the king, you got to put him to the test. And very different, though, from where we began. So let's roll it on back, and we'll talk about that, friends. So Randor, again, origins found one of the very first places that we find Randor, and it's where we find a lot of stuff, really, as far as the fleshing out of the characters and who they become. Is the 82 DC Comics. So the 82 Motu DC Comics is where we actually find the origin for Randor. And his being a little different than others, he was featured in Fate is the Killer. So that was the name of the 82 DC Comics. That was the earliest depictions of Randor and Queen Marlena. So it did feature both of them. However, they didn't have names. So they were unnamed. They didn't actually list their names in those tellings. Let's see, let's check in and see what everybody's saying. Yeah, man, that caused some twins. I need Glenn. BK Whopper, what's going in? All right, there we go. So catch up on the comments. I try to interact with you, man, while we're doing this thing, but it's hard to read. Johnson needs glasses, brother. But let's pause for the calls. Little Waffle Mafia mug there, y'all. So Fate is the Killer, that was where he's featured at first. But it shows Randor and Marlena, and I don't know if you guys have seen these, but some of the early depictions of them, they were white-haired. So you had white-haired Randor, he had a white beard, Marlena actually had white hair. Hey, what's up, Oz? Let's see. So also same, but was listed as Prince Adam's parents. So even in the earliest depictions, although they didn't have a name, although they didn't really tell anything other than the fact that they were the king and queen, they were listed as Prince Adam's parents. And it was made very clear and apparent that they were the parents of Prince Adam. In To Tempt the Gods, again, white-haired Randor. But in this particular comic, he's very vocal about the fact that he has a disgust for Adam. Adam is very lazy. He's a womanizer, as we talked about in the Prince Adam podcast. You know, Adam just lazy womanizer, likes to get in a little fight or two. So it's very cool that they point out the fact that this disgusts Randor. He's disgusted by his own son. And in truth, he makes it clearly known that really just wishes He-Man was his son. So DC being very careful to point out to you that, man, this Adam, he's just not a nice guy. But, hey, man, if you really want to impress the king, you got to be on He-Man's team. So there you go. A little vocal disgust about Adam. I thought that was interesting, at least, that they pointed it out. He had a preference for He-Man to be his heir. Again, unnamed king appears in only one panel of the story Key to Castle Grayskull. So that was the very next one. And if you guys remember, we did those DC comics. So we've done them a couple times, actually. They're very sweet if you all have not seen them. You've got DC's To Tempt the Gods. And then the next one is Key to Castle Grayskull. And then there's a third one. And I can't remember what the third one's called, but I think it does have something to do with Grayskull also. But that's a 1, 2, and 3 DC run there. And you can find them on eBay sometimes. Very expensive at times. Sometimes you can get them cheap. You really just, those are the kind of ones that I try to get for you guys, and you just really have to sit on them a while and kind of scope them out and pick them off when you can. So there's that with the DCs. Now, in 82, Michael Halperin wrote the Motu Bible. So there's this Motu Bible that is sort of a guide or a background guide of all the characters and explain the figure guide. Here is the first time that we actually see a name and a backstory for the king. So this is where we have the actual name listed as Randor. We have a backstory for the king and where he came from. And what I find interesting, in Randor's backstory, it gives the backstory for him meeting Marlena. So as you all know, maybe some of you don't, and you know, no shame in the game if there's some Motu facts you don't know, because guys, I don't have all the knowledge either. I research these things. There's a lot of things from my childhood that I remember. But, you know, He-Man is life. So we talk about these things in the group, and we talk about these things every day. And I love it when you guys pop up with some cool questions or something that I haven't ever heard of or something that just seems really interesting. And then we delve a little bit deeper into it and find out some kind of crazy shit. So, you know, for those who maybe don't know, there is a backstory with Marlena, where Marlena's from Earth. And so she is Captain Glenn, and Captain Glenn is piloting the space shuttle and gets pulled through a dimensional portal and crash lands on Eternium. Now, there's a lot of different spins in this, because you know that, you know, with He-Man, there's a multiverse and there's lots of different things going on. So really, there's a lot of different ways that you can actually look at it. And there's a couple different ways that it's told. At some points, it's told that Marlena's from Earth, that she crash landed. Of course, always falling in love with Randor and having their son, who is Prince Adam. But that would then make He-Man half Eternian and half Earth, which Earthling, which we know that as well. There's some other references to that in lots of other media. But, you know, there's also some different kind of things that are told where Eternia is Earth in the future and is actually a time rift that she came through, and some different concepts like that. But really, I mean, what is accepting to me, or, you know, the part that I'm cool with or that I roll with is she's Captain Glenn. You know, I don't know. She's Marlena. She's Queen Marlena. It doesn't really even have to go any deeper than that for me. If you're a Filmation fan, obviously, you know, get down with Captain Glenn and the idea of her coming from Earth. There's also ties in with Evil Lynn that we talked about last week in the podcast, Evelyn Powers. So, her also being a scientist on the ship. So, you know, there is some tie-in, and the canon can go whichever way you like for it to go. But so what you end up with this Super 7 figure, bro, is you get Captain Glenn in her space suit, which is really awesome. A lot of cool detail put in there. She's got her helmet that is removed. The cover there is removable. She's got a gun. Got her little side pistol as well. So very sweet figure, beautiful, just absolutely gloriously done by the Horseman. So there is she. And then, of course, I got the Marlena pieces for her as well. But a little shout out to the Battle Ram blog, because what was interesting on Battle Ram blog, and the reason that I told you guys all that to tell you this, in that Bible by Halperin, when he is describing Randor and Marlena and sort of giving the background story along with the Queen, it goes on to read this. I'm going to read a piece of it to you from Battle Ram Blog because I just thought it was interestingly enough. And just this one little piece, I'm going to grab you two little snippets out of it, and then we'll just stop it there. But Marlena staggered to her feet and lurched to the captain's chair. She called out to the others. No one answered. And when she looked, only the spacesuits remained mute, empty, and wrinkled. Little time remained to brood as the shuttle shot into the Eternian lawn sphere, glowing red, yellow, and white. She nosed the craft up and bounced off the layer of air, slowing the vehicle for a smoother re-entry. Marlena couldn't spot any runways for the shuttle, so she aimed the ship at the only clear spot she saw, a long meadow and a lush green valley. So right there, okay, I just want to make a point about this. Long, lush, green valley. Not futurized mech battle stations. There was no runway. There was no computerized runway. No flashing lights. Her ship was the most advanced thing that there was. And yes, it probably had two guns on it. It didn't have 12 guns on it. But either way. Okay, moving on. Eternia is lush and green. It is not a desolate wasteland. I almost dropped the F-bomb on the podcast. That would have been good. Okay, so the spacecraft hit the ground. Its landing gear crumpled on impact, and it sank to its belly, skidding, pitching, and crashing to a wrecking stop. Unconscious, Marlena wouldn't know the helping hands pulling her out of the wreckage and carrying her to the royal palace of the reigning king of Eternia, the young and handsome Randor. So it goes on to let us know here that Marlena was the most beautiful thing that Randor had ever seen. Absolute Eternian love story. Couldn't be more appropriate for our Valentine's Day podcast. Fell in love. And then they give us this little blonde-haired baby. So ain't no big problems there, man. You know, we're cool with that because we couldn't really live without that Adam cat. I mean, you can. Can have He-Man without Adam, but you know what it'd be. It's a lot easier when he changes into the Man of He. So we'll pause for the calls. Let's finish this mug off. And let's get it in. I've got a couple more things to tell you, my friends, about Randall. I'm going to run probably another 5-10 minutes if we can and get on through this Randall, man. And then I got a couple things to tell y'all, some stuff that we're going to get in. And we'll talk about some stuff for tomorrow night's spin. So that backstory that was created in 82 also helped shape the backstory that was used for Filmation Randor. So a lot of what you see there that was created in the Bible was created for printed media. So basically it's just saying that anytime that this particular character is featured in printed media, this is a backstory for that particular character that will be followed. And so that was the idea there. bit of this, there is a bit of the backstory, and we talked about it just a second ago in To Tempt the Gods. So if you guys have never seen To Tempt the Gods, that's the one that's the DC that has He-Man on the cover, holding the swords, got the shield. Oh, so glorious. What's happening, Zertush? What's happening, my dude? Killhorse bastard. We'll get to that, too. I got my Randor for 99 cents. Don't mean at Shopco when the line was ending. That's pretty awesome, Magnus. Or Freebird. I actually don't have a vintage Randor, and I was noticing a minute ago, just going through them looking for one to use for the podcast and talk to y'all about it, and I was like, good Lord, out of all these figures, I actually don't have a Randor. I don't have a Sorceress either, because I was going to use her as a prop during that part, so that was interesting. I got to get on my vintage game. I mean, you guys can see there are a lot of vintage figures back here, and I do have lots of them, but these are the ones that Graylin plays with, and they're his, and he, you know, does his thing with them, and that's cool, because, I mean, how much cooler would it be than be 1 year old and have his toys that he enjoys them? I do too, and they're awesome to talk about with all of you, so I don't really have a Randor, I don't have a Sorceress either. But I'm trying. We were talking about the other day in the groups. People were talking about getting back into collecting line. Magnus was in there, and a couple other folks. We was just chatting back and forth, and gonna go back and start and kind of recollect the vintage line. I want to do that. So we'll probably get into some more vintage stuff for you guys that I'll give away for you guys here coming up soon. Because when I start digging for a particular thing, I think you guys know I get on literature and artwork a lot. So. That's why I'm always giving away comics for you guys and posters for you guys and that kind of thing, because those are the things that are important to me. So I'm going to go back, try to get into vintage, come back through. I'm not really a mint on card guy. I like to actually play with the toys, enjoy the toys, Hummel. I'm more of a loose collector myself. I like them loose, especially on Valentine's Day. Let's have a pause for the calls and watch what I say, because it could be a very lonely night. I think we'll be making old Prince Adam, all right? So there's that pause for the calls. And here we go. In 83, we do see several instances of the Prince Adam relation, though. So they're very... it's very poignant that they point out clearly that Prince Adam is their son. So in multiple instances, we see that too. In what I thought was interesting is, so this is in 82 when you see most of this stuff coming out with King Randor, and it's featured the unnamed king. He really doesn't have a name. He's the white bearded, more of the party dress Randor, the Filmation Randor, even though he's still white bearded and white haired. But what I thought was interesting is you see that in 82, but in 83 we got that Power of Point Dread mini, the storybook record that I absolutely love so much with my Point Dread stuff. But in that particular book and record, it does feature Randor, but there is absolutely no mention of Prince Adam, and it's like he does not exist. It's simply Randor is the king, and He-Man, is defending his king. And that was drawn by Alfredo Alcala, so if you guys have never seen that, that's absolutely my favorite. Please go check that out. Killer storybook record. If you guys have never heard it, get on YouTube and type that in, the PowerPoint Dread. It has the whole record on there. Or you can go over to King He-Man and the Masters of the Universe over to Manlore's page and check that out, because he's got it on there too. And he also has the mini comic of it. So very interesting there that they were very specific about the fact that He-Man was simply, barbarian who is protecting Eternia and defending the castle and defending the palace. So I thought that was cool. He is in the Ordeal of Manny Faces. He's also in Menace Trap Jaw. He's in Magic Stealer. In all of those, he has the same kingly look, white hair, white beard. At one point in time, early in his development, because we're talking about that too, about how sometimes early in the development of a character, in the early workings, before we get to the prototypes and all that good stuff, love the DC Comics. Yeah, they're amazing. Was Adam ever really worthy of the Sword of Power? I wonder that too, man. I wonder that too. You know, if you go back, and especially if you look at the DC tellings of him, I mean, not quite the most virtuous man to be He-Man. Bit of a womanizer, bit of a drunk, like to have a few brawls. I love the man. But you know what it'd be. Kind of lost my place. You always do this. Let's pause the call. Oh, Cully Cups is hanging with me. It's a drinking game, y'all. Cully bringing the brews. You know what we do? It's tres cervezas con Cully. So now the podcast can be listed as bilingual. And, hey, if you're going to do it, man, do it tonight because it's Valentine's, right? So tres cervezas con Cully. You know what it'd be. Okay, so early in the production, I get back to what I was talking about, you see. So early in the production, Randor was actually listed as King Miro. Now, that was surprising to me because in Filmation, Miro was actually king prior to Randor. So he was the king before, and then Randor took over at a later time. Now, I know that the name King Miro rings a bell, and I know that you guys recognize that name, especially for anybody that's of that 2000X fame. You guys know that part of the story or part of the classics canon that the classics told was that Miro was actually Randor's father, and we do see that storyline come into play as well. So that got flashed out with classics a little bit. The idea of Keldor, that gets flashed out in Vintage. So that's very interesting that they sort of tied all these things together. Now, with Miro, or the idea of him being Miro, that did actually make it into print. And I thought this was interesting, too, because it was in the 84 Motu UK annuals. It actually lists Adam as the son. It's doing a blurb about Prince Adam, and it lists him as the son of King Miro. So Randor will be referred to as Miro there. Later on, again, what we're talking about with the original mini comics, and so we see in the mini comics, in the original mini comics, the search for Keldor. It does hint to the fact that Skeletor is his half-brother, and then, of course, classics expounded on that by making King Miro their father, and so I don't know if that was done, you know, maybe that was based off of something from early on that was a concept, but at one point in time, Randor was being called Miro. He got that right. That's what I heard the story. See, nothing of Randor backstory aside from what 2000X shared. So I like that. That's pretty cool. It was in the bloodline potential, maybe not worthy at the time. See, I agree with that because I think that they were really trying to expand the universe at that particular time. And I think some clever writers came in and said, hey, man, we could tie, you know, this to this and make this very interesting and that kind of thing. So I think it is interesting that, Dan, your first touch of it or the story that you know is the background that 2000X provided because that's very interesting in of itself. Randor being Captain of the Guard, you know, leading his men into battle and battling against Keldor. So the very opening scene of MYP 2000X, that's Mike Young Productions for you guys that don't know. or we'll say 2002, which is the year that that was done, the 2002 Mike Young Productions. Episode one, the beginning, absolutely freaking amazing how that beginning scene starts out, depicting Randor coming into the Hall of Elders, or the in front of the council, or the hall, yeah, the Hall of Elders, Hall of Wisdom. No, yes, Johnson, God, bro. But he comes walking in, and you know, Randor's brash in his he's brash in the way that he comes in. He's helmeted. I think it's a very awesome look for Randor, and Rudman and I were talking about it in the comments, Ruddy Buddy, when we were first, right before we got this thing rolling. I love that look for that character. And so 2000X Randor, if we could ever get that from Super 7, that would just be phenomenal. Because he's a youthful badass that leads the guard and leads the Eternian Guard. So although we have this guy here, and he is, to me, King Randor, he always will be, because this is the vintage figure that we got. Man, I love that 2000X a lot. So, you know, and like Dan said, the backstory that they provide for him being a soldier, he fought alongside Duncan. You really cannot beat a lot of that MYP. But as we were talking about it, it's a more youthful King, you see. So we did get that. He was more youthful King in Filmation. He was redesigned, a bit of the Eternian ruler, father of Adam. His look in the minis after that was kind of interesting, because after we got Filmation Randor, in the mini comics, we started getting like an amalgamation of Randor. So it was the DC Randors with the gray beard, the white beard, the white hair, but he was now in the Filmation dress and sort of had the, you know, the crown and the really stately looking stuff. Golden Books offered a bit more, style for him. Honestly, the mini comics is just where it got strange. I mean, it went from style to style to style. We even had a Randor with pink hair in the Leech comics. That was noted on Battle Ram blog too. So that was very interesting that we did get a Randor with pink hair. Golden Books, bit more style and panache, man. He was so it was the same look. It was kind of that same stately, you know, kingly look. But they just pimped it up a bit and just gave him, like, everything was a bit more plush. You know, he had the boots with them furs and had them diamonds and them rings and whatnot. When the figure was finally released in 87, what we did get was we just sort of got a conglomeration of everything. So we see what we see here. Of course, this classic's being true to the original figure. We had a repaint on the legs. It was He-Man's body. We did have Jitsu's armor, so this is Jitsu's armor. It got a repaint. The head, you know, and the crown, that was a new sculpt, so that part was new. But everything else, and this cape, the cape was new when you got that with the figure, because we never had that particular style before. He had the little thing across the middle that held it together, just a little flexible kind of deal. But Classics, absolutely beautiful job of recreating this figure, you know, being true to the essence of who he is, and sticking true with the Filmation biz, and also still giving us, you know, who he really be. And to me, that's Randor, you see. When he's ready to battle, he goes into battle and he kicks some ass. There you go. So, interestingly enough, after that, what you did see was that now the mini comics would adopt this style, and they would pick up this look for Randor, having the armor, and, you know, now he's ready to fight. He did have a spear, so he had his spear, but they had
the White Beard also. So he was featured in Search for Keldor. He was also in, I think, Buzzsaw Hordak was one of them that he's featured in after that. There was one involving the Sorceress that he was in. So that was pretty cool, too. His cross-sell art, almost exactly the same as the figure that we got. Norm tapped him a couple of times for some of his posters. He was in a Clamp Champ poster with Snake Face. Let's see who else is in there. Blast Attack, He-Man. Interestingly enough, in the back of that poster, there is some touches of Preternia. So you see a Bionitops, or not a Bionitops, but a Gigantosaur in the background. So you guys check that poster out if you've never seen that. It's really cool. It's a Norm, and it's such a strange gathering of figures, I think, because it has Randor, Squeeze, I think, is in it. You've also got Snake Face. You've got Blast Attack, of course, his association with the Snake Men there. But then you've got Clamp Champ fighting alongside He-Man, and it's clear that they're in a Preternian setting. So I don't know. It was super interesting, that particular poster. I always dug that one. I was really looking for it for you guys to try to get it for you to do along with Randor, but I couldn't get my hands on one. Things that I have gotten my hands on this week, and we're going to wrap this up, because really, at this point with Randor, there's really not that much more to it. He's featured by William George. He's also featured in some of the Star comics. He's in a Commodore 64 game, so that's pretty cool if you guys have never seen that. But he is in a He-Man Masters of the Universe Commodore 64 game. Things that I picked up this week for you guys that I thought was awesome. As you can see over here, can or can't see, I don't know how good you can see that on the podcast, but Pops, man. Pops. We got some Pops. Battle Armor Skeletor, Stratos, Evil Lyn, Merman, Battle Armor He-Man, and Moss Man's mine. Beast Man, got Orko. Picked up some comics. Got a couple of other cool things for y'all, yo. So we're going to do a couple of interesting things this weekend, and we'll get in, but we'll talk about that all on Thirsty Thursday, my friend. So for tomorrow night, Thirsty Thursday, we're going to hang out with the Kang. And since they a couple, his lady he'll bring. I know she'll come, too. And we'll see about making this space woman do what it do. And it'll be fun, guys. We'll do Thirsty Thursday. We'll do it all right. And other than that, man, we'll call it a night. Make sure you check out all the other pages, the Waffle Mafia. You got to keep the love going there. And, of course, keep WaffleCon in mind because we're going to get that done too as possible because make it do what it do. Lord of Destruction Waffles, most powerful waffles, Law, Will, and me. And that makes up the Waffle Mafia. You see other pages, us doing what we do. We got the great unboxing and some King He-Man too. Got old Kevin Castillo over there buying and selling and trading, doing things. And Scared Glow Man, go check him out too. And enjoy that toy with that Hummel dude. And go check out his showing on the podcast last week with Brian over at Masters of the Galaxy. Did the podcast on me. Him and Johnny Myslowick do that together. I tried to get on this week, too, and couldn't make it, but you know what it'd be. And hey, big shout-out to Penny Dreadful, you see. You know, Penny's in the group. So, Penny, Penny, very awesome that you're writing those classics bios. That's just amazing, girl. I know how much work you put into things. I know how much you pour into the Masters community. So, big shout-out to you, Penny. And that's very cool. She was also on Brian's podcast a couple weeks ago over at Masters of the Galaxy. Make sure you check out Joey Boom Boom, the Rotten Amato Joe Amato, the modern, what was it? What was that? The Amato Rator? The Amato Rator? over at The Great Unboxing, Mr. Joe Amato, and a shout out to Tyler Baker too, and that's at Fans of Power podcast, making it do what it do. Guys, thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for doing the podcast this week. And things have been shipped. And now we're going to do free spots, you see. So free spots tonight for everybody who jumped in. And we'll talk about it tomorrow night and what you can win. I'm going to have the separate wheel for the last two podcasts. You guys are you're in good. I'm going to roll out something interesting in the neighborhood. Now, I do have something else I want to show you guys before I go, because this is just way too glorious to keep it to myself, yo. So what we're going to do, I'm going to do a separate wheel for this. I'm going to do it like super freaking cheap. We're just going to throw down on this thing because it's awesome and let y'all do however many spots you want to do. I don't really care. We might cap it at like five a person just so that it doesn't get like really crazy. We want to keep the wheel as balanced as possible because that really sucks when it gets way out of hand. But, guys, I just got to show you this, man. Get on down there, Web Sword. Yeah, our spider. What a care. Get down, fish lips. You know what it be. Oh, shit. There goes a Skeletor, too. You see, trying to cuss on the podcast. All right, here we go. Make sure I don't have it upside down, yo. So there is no way I'm going to get this whole thing in the shot. But I just had to show you guys what we got. Oh, my word. Oh, good Lord. I just killed Randor. Oh, it is vinyl. This is so cool, man. This is like a vinyl print. Johnson, you're blocking it. Jesus. Not much more I can do, but it's got Skelly, it's got Battle Cat, it's got He-Man 2, it's got Stratos Jitsu. What is Jitsu? Okay, there's Clawful. They're all over there. There's Merman, there's Trap Jaw, Stinkor 2. I thought it was interesting. Titus is up at the top, my dudes. Hordak and Shadow Beast. I don't know, but this some bitch got Marzo on it, bro. This thing... I don't even know where this came from, man. I mean, as far as the gloriousness of it, the art is what I mean. I do not know who's done this art. To be quite honest with you, I don't know why, and I may be completely wrong, but it just feels like Emiliano's work. I don't know. It just, for something to me, when I open this, I just feel like maybe Emiliano done this. I don't know. But it's in a print. I don't know, honestly, who made this or whatever, but I found it. It wasn't too crazy expensive. There you go. But we'll talk about that sucker, too, yo. So I'm going to run a separate wheel on that. I just think it would be fun to give out something that cool, man. And, hell, it is probably a good 3.5-4 foot across. So, I mean, that thing is cool. It is enough to make you drool, but we're going to pause for the calls, and I'm going to take it on out. I appreciate y'all hanging out over here at the Mafia House. We've run it a little bit over. It's been almost an hour. I'm sorry, friends, but come back for Thirsty Thursday, and I'll get y'all on the spins. We'll have a good time tomorrow night, guys. Y'all know what it be. There ain't nowhere else for a better winning chance, you see, because old daddy spins that wheel a few times and says a few rhymes, too. And you may copy us, baby, but you'll never do what we do. We're the Waffle Mafia. Thanks for coming in. And we'll see you tomorrow night for Thirsty Thursday, my friends. I love y'all. Y'all have a good evening. We'll talk to you later. Peace. We'll be right back.